verse 35. Now we're near the end of the book here. And I told you last week, this is the close of David's life. And in the whole chapter 22, David is reciting some things, and he's talking about himself. What it means is things about Christ. And there's great things we can learn in this chapter that tell us some things about Christ. And you're going to see that as we, you know, get through this chapter tonight. And notice there, just to kind of get going here, in verse 33, he says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Now, I told you what that means. I mentioned this a little bit, but I want to review this just again, just for a minute. Now, notice the Bible says that God is my strength and power. I told you that that's one thing that dispensations never change. See? It doesn't change the fact that God can be anybody's strength, and God is the only power there is. And Paul said over in Ephesians 6, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see? And not too many folks strong in the Lord. They're strong in a lot of other things. They're strong in education. Some are strong in religion. But it takes the Word of God to make a Christian strong in the Lord. Amen. You can't be strong in the Lord without the Word of God. Alright? Now, and David makes this, he noticed, he says, he makes my way perfect. And I told you that's not sinless perfection. That's talking about a fact of being right, is what it means in the text here. And he says in verse 34, he maketh my feet like hind's feet. That's like a deer. You folks from up Michigan, you all know there's a lot of deer up there. You ever know so deer can go places you wouldn't imagine and never slip. And that's a good illustration. Say, God makes your feet like that. Your feet is not going to slip. You'll be firm as long as God is your strength and power, and God is directing your ways. Right. And that's what it's talking about. Now let's pick it up in verse 35. This is where we wanted to come to tonight anyway. Notice he says, he teacheth my hands to war. See? And in the New Testament, the Bible says our weapons are not carnal. Alright? What is the weapons of a Christian? Word and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. So a Christian that doesn't feed daily on the Word of God doesn't have any weapons to war. And notice he said, he teacheth my hands to war. And of course in here it's literal. See? And God did teach David to war. And he said, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. And I mentioned this some last week, and this is where we had to quit last week. But this verse here is the one that they say is something makes the Bible wrong. That's a contradiction, you see, because back there wasn't no steel. Amen. And you check out these modern Bibles, these so-called Bibles, you know, imitation Bibles, and that NIV, and it says, my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the only thing about that is, God is something. I mean, we won't get that far tonight probably, but God wrote this Bible. And you know, I don't have no trouble believing that 3,000 years ago, God had as much knowledge of steel as we do today. I mean, I don't have any trouble understanding that at all. Right. Now, what is the reference we've been discussing this? Some of you wasn't with us last week, but most of this reference here has to do with the second coming of Christ. All right? And which could be, you know, the Lord could come for the church any time. Right. And then, of course, you know the story, the Antichrist will take over the earth for a period of time, 7 years at least. And then Christ will return this earth. When Christ come back to this earth, you think there'll be any steel here? There'll be plenty of it. Sure there will. So, suppose that the Bible would have said, David would have said this, He teaches me to fire 16 millimeter. Now, you want to know the thing about that to 1950. But anybody can understand steel. You don't have no trouble with that, do you? See? You see, people don't understand the Bible because they don't reason nothing out. It's too simple. That's what I told some people in jail last night. I said, people go to hell because the Bible is too simple for them to understand it. You see? If you had to have an education to understand the Bible, most of us wouldn't understand it. See? And you was here Sunday morning. We mentioned all that, you know, in 1 Thessalonians. We'll be back there again this Sunday. All right, he says, he teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arm. All right? So, all this deal with the second coming of Christ. All right? And like I told you before, when you find something in the Bible and you say, well, I don't understand that or I don't believe that, what you're reading, you're just reading something that's far ahead of your knowledge. See? And that's why you ought to study and get caught up. Amen? They used to have a broadcast on the radio said, back to the Bible. You know, which shouldn't have never been. It shouldn't be back to the Bible. They should have, let's catch up with the Bible. Amen? They ain't got to get back. They're going to need to catch up. All right, verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. See? Now, you see two things in this verse. Number one, you see a tribulation saint that'll be oppressed by the devil, and his deliverance is salvation. And notice that it's based on faith and works. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness have made me great. And of course, David's talking about it was God that made him great, see? David was a great man because God made him great. See? And of course, you can run your reference back on that back in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 9. And notice he said, thou hast also given me the shield. You see that shield? Shield is protection. You see that? In Ephesians chapter 6, this is called the shield of faith. What's the protection of a Christian tonight? Well, it's the shield of faith. Amen? And it's applied to David here. As he says that God put up with him, God tolerated him, and it was God that made him great when God could have killed him. Amen? I mean, you realize that night you could be dead and in hell? Huh? You're here tonight and you're saved because of what God did for you? Do you realize that? Huh? I mean, can't you see what when he says here, he says, thou hast given me the shield of my salvation and thy gentleness. The fact that God was gentle to me is because the reason I'm in a pulpit tonight, not a bar, is because God was gentle to me. Amen? Can't you understand that? And then people sit around and try to figure it out, you know. You know, they sit around and wonder what's going to happen, see? I mean, David said God took care of him, see? And no man or no woman or nobody or no nation can become great unless God takes care of you. Amen? Because if God don't take care of you, chances are you won't live long enough to be around to be anything. Amen? I mean, God has to preserve you and God has to be gentle with you. I mean, God could drop you any minute. Huh? Any minute. See? I'll give you an illustration of that. There was two people in the New Testament. They walked in church one Sunday morning. Said, hello, preacher. Preacher said, hello, Ananias. He said, did you sell that house? He said, yep. How much you sell it for? $2,000. We brought it all to church. He said, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Bam, he fell dead. Right. Amen? Evening service comes. He walked in. Said, hello, preachers. Hello, Sapphire. So where you been? Been home all day. Did you sell your land? Yeah. How much you sell it for? $2,000. Why, you want to lie to the Holy Ghost? Bam! Men that buried your husband will wait and take you out and bury you too. See, God didn't deal with them too gentle. Amen? A lot of Christians, they say, you love the Lord? Sure, I love the Lord. Boys, I'm glad God don't deal the way he did then. Amen?
Amen.
Love the Lord? Sure, love the Lord. I'm here Sunday morning, yeah, but you watched television 14 hours yesterday, never opened your Bible.
Right.
Amen.
You'll get sweet after a while, just have to stick around, amen? All right, the Bible said, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness have made me great. Huh? Tell you something, folks, the world has great men. Amen? A lot of great men out there the world recognize. The world has its pharaohs and its Caesars and its kings and its presidents and all this stuff, you know. But the heroes of God aren't the heroes of the world. Amen? Huh? The Lord's heroes is not the world's heroes, you see. The world's history books aren't written about the great missionaries or the great preachers or the great Christian, you see. It's wrote about the bloody killers, but never, you never find a world except in a great book of great men and great women that God has made great. They don't care for them. But you know something? I don't care for the world's great either.
Amen.
Amen? I care less. You know who one of the great men of the world today is? He's a pope. I wouldn't give you 20 cents for him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if I was following the devil, I'd be interested in him, but I wouldn't give you 20 cents for him.
Right.
But the world, he's their hero, see?
Right.
He ain't my hero. Somebody said one time, and Elvis Presley died, they said, the king's dead. I said, your king may be dead, mine ain't gonna never die, amen?
Amen.
You can't kill my king.
Right.
Amen. But you know, that's the way it is. You know, the Bible is so different, you know. But it's so much greater, you know. You know, you take a step down, you leave the Bible. You know, I mean, why go down? Everybody wants to be first class. Why don't you go first class? Stay with the book.
Amen.
I mean, why go from the bottom? Amen? You know? Do you know, you find this Bible, you ever read the account of our Sarah and Abraham? You ever read it? On Genesis? And it says more about Sarah. You know what Sarah was? She's a woman that lived in a desert in a tent with her husband. That's all she was. That's all she was. If she's here today, the world wouldn't give 20 cents for her. She wouldn't be for ERA. She'd want to be a housewife. She'd want to stay on and be a housewife. Like the Bible says, she wouldn't carry stuff. Nobody would care anything for her, see? But God wrote a lot about her, see? I mean, God told more about that woman living in the desert than you can find out than he wrote about this the Emperor of Rome in this Bible. Read about it. You find a few verses on the Emperor of Rome. You find chapter after chapter about a woman that lived out there in a desert in a tent with her husband. Amen? See? Which goes to show that, you know, the real point is that God pays no attention to heathen Gentiles.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, how much attention you think God pays to George Bush? I mean, I'm not against George Bush, but I'm trying to show you something here, see. I mean, you know, he's like the rest of them. They don't worry about him, you know. He ain't going to do nothing for you. All right, notice verse 37. Verse 37, thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. See? I mean, God will keep you from slipping. God will keep you up. You won't fall. Amen? All right, verse 38, I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I had consumed them. You see, David never lost a battle. Never did. There's two men in the history of the world that never lost a battle. And one of them was David, and the other was Oliver Cromwell. They never lost a battle. He was an Englishman. Every battle they went to, they fought. They won. Now, I'll tell you some more about him a little bit later on, if I get that far or not. All right? All right, verse 38. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. See? David whooped everybody ever fought. Never lost a battle. You know why he never lost a battle? Huh? Look at verse 33. God is my strength and power. You see that? I mean, folks, God don't lose battles. Amen? God can't lose. I mean, Paul said in Romans 8, if God be for you, who can be against you? And if anything for certain, if anything in the world is certain, God is for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 39. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. See? That's something, isn't it? That's a strange scripture, isn't it? I mean, here's David bragging. He's bragging about killing people. You see what it said? He said, I've consumed them. You know, consume, it means you take them in. I wounded them. See? I wounded them. Then they could not arise. They've fallen under my feet. I walked over them after I stomped them. And he's bragging about it. Huh? I tell you this before I tell you tonight. You got a college in this country up there in Greenville, South Carolina called Bob Jones University. It's a good college. You want to go to school and get an education, I recommend it. If you don't go out and learn the Bible, don't go. The Stuart Cluster there, he's in charge of their Donald Duck Bible Department. Stuart Cluster said that Jesus Christ never spoke a harsh word nowhere in the Bible. Well, there's only one thing wrong with that. Apparently, he hadn't read the Bible, or he don't know what's in the Bible. I don't know which. I want to... Let me give an illustration of what I'm talking about. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 63. Now, we're talking about the second coming of Christ, and you see, that's the trouble with the world and the Bible. The world thinks that God's just a great big kiss, and, you know, God loves us all, and we're all going to be okay, and all this stuff, you know, and they'll believe that because preachers don't get up and preach what's in the Bible. See? If they preach what's in the Bible, there'd be more people that knew what the Bible says. Okay? Well, let's see if he's right. He's in a big university up there, and they have thousands of young boys and girls come through there all the time. And this is what he gets up and tells them. Now, if those boys and girls, if they ever read the Bible, they're going to realize he lied to them. See? Look at Isaiah 63, page 767. Notice verse 1. It says, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his appeal, traveling in the greatness of his strength. Question. See that? Who is this? Answer. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who are we talking about here? The Lord. Amen? Alright, verse 2. Question. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment like him that threadeth in the wine fat? Huh? You notice the question there? Look at the answer in verse 3. Huh? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people that were none with me, for I will thread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. You want to read that in Revelation chapter 14. The Battle of Armageddon talks about 200 million United Nations troops stomped at one time at the second coming of Christ. People ought to read the Bible before they talk about the Lord. Amen. They ought to know something about the Lord before they talk about Him. Amen. Now, I'll admit, you know, He came, like we said in John, He came the first time. He said, I come not to condemn the world, but to save it. Amen. And He did. I'm glad he did. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad he come to save it. He didn't have to come to condemn it. It was already condemned.
Amen.
But he comes back the second time, folks. He ain't coming to save nobody. He's coming to stomp them, just like he said. Amen. You read around Revelation chapter 19, where John said, I saw, and he said he destroyed the ecclesiastical religious system of this world. You and all the saints said, oh, a loving God wouldn't do that to all those dear folks. Oh my gosh, I just can't believe a loving God would do that to people. Huh? And the Bible says, they said, hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Read it.
Amen.
See? I meant, you see this man that we're talking about here, he professes to be a fundamental Bible believer. He professes. But in practice, he's a liberal and a modernist. You see? And the sad thing about it is, if a young boy does go to that school with any Bible convictions, he's going to leave without them if he stays there. You see? Now look at Isaiah, look at 63 verse 5. Bible says, and I looked, and there was none to help. Huh? And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and in my fury it upheld me. Look at verse 6. And I will tread down the people in mine anger. Huh? Saint, the Lord got mad, didn't it? Hmm? And make them drink of my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. You see? Second Advent. You see that? Now they say that when a gentle person gets mad, he's 10 times worse than a normal person. Can you imagine when the lamb gets mad? Hmm? I'll take your Bible back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 22, verse 39. And I have consumed them and wounded them, and they could not arise. Yea, they have fallen under my feet. You see? And David said one time, God said, I'll make your enemies your footstool. See? Verse 40. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle them that rose up against me, hast thou subdued unto me. See, David gives the credit to God. See, but it's an Advent passage, you see. An Advent passage is this: the kingdom of this earth gather together to fight against the Lord. You see, it has to take place. Verse 41. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies. The next is talking about victory. Remember when Judges, when Joshua went in there and they brought those 5 kings in, they took their foot and put their foot on their neck?
Right.
See? And that's the symbol of when you put your foot on a man's neck, he's under you. He's defeated. Amen? You're over him. And that's what it says. That's the thing. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies. See? His enemies are under him. He's like somebody putting their foot on their head, the back of their head. They're over them. They're under them then. See that? That I might destroy them that hate me. You see? Subdued under. And notice, David is saying here that God taught him to fight, and God gave him the weapons, and God gave him the victory, and David is giving the credit to God. Amen? Alright, verse 42. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord. But he answered them not. You see? And what they're saying, the picture you're seeing here is there going to come a time when they're going to call on the Lord. See? It said they looked, but there was none to save. See, they rejected God. They turned God down. And then there comes a time when judgment comes. They're gonna seek God. They're going to call on the God. But it says there was none to save, even unto the Lord. Why? He answered them not. You see that? Now, there's a commentary on this, and I'm not going to dwell a long time on it, but I want to show it to you. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And I'll show you what's going to happen, and, what is going to happen. It's no doubt about it. It's going to happen to everybody one day. Proverbs chapter 1, that's on page 672. Proverbs 1, notice verse 24 there. God said, because I've called... Huh? What are you talking about? God is called. Huh? God's called every sinner in this world to Calvary.
Amen.
Amen? Every sinner in this world has been called to Calvary, to come to Calvary tonight and get saved.
Amen.
What do they do about it? Huh? Nothing. Alright? He says, because I've called, you refused. Amen. I've stretched out my hand, no man regarded. I've stuck out my hand in peace and love, offered you what you need. You snubbed your nose up at me. That's what it says over in Zechariah, I believe it was. Verse 25. But you said at naught all my counsel. What do you think of the Bible? I don't like it. Don't put that Bible on me. See that? All my counsel. You don't want to hear it. Man came in there tonight and said, I don't want to hear it. Don't even talk about it. Okay, bud, we won't talk about it. One day there won't be nothing else to talk about. Amen? All he says, but you have said it not all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. That'll fit most of the church crowd today.
Yeah.
Huh? That'll fit them. Go in church and open the Bible and tell them what's in it. You better be close to the door. Verse 26, now hear what God said. I also will laugh at your calamity. You mean God's going to laugh at people? You mean one day a man's going to say, oh God, help me, and God's going to say, ha ha ha, buddy, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's why you do him, isn't it? God's something, isn't he? Boy, he's something. You see, that's what I'm saying. People don't know the God of the Bible. They know the God of this world, and the God of religion, and the God of education, and the God of... But they don't know the God of the Bible. See? God said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock. You mean God's going to make fun of people and mock people? Huh? I'll mock when your fear cometh. See? What's the trouble? What's the trouble? Verse 29. For they that hated knowledge, huh? And did not choose the fear of the Lord. You tell people they're going to hell, what they do? Laugh at you, don't they? Hmm? You tell people about the judgment of God, they laugh at you. Hmm? They think it's funny. But one day it won't be funny.
Amen.
Also, what we're seeing here, we're seeing a picture of somebody that's going to one day, when judgment comes, they're going to call on God. But the Bible says, but he answered them not. Okay? Look at verse 43. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street and did spread them abroad. Boy, you ain't talking about? He's talking about taking people and just stoning them till they come mush. Huh? You mean that's the God of That's the God that says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the God that said, come unto me, all ye laden and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the God that said, come as little children. That's the God that said, call on the Lord, and I shall be saved. That's the same God. Same one. There's only one of them. Read Isaiah 44 and 45. There, I am the true God. There's but one God. That's Him. We're talking about Him now. We're reading about Him in the Bible. Amen? Amen. It's like somebody saying, oh God. That's what people say just before they die. Oh God. Can you imagine how I was thinking about this today? I was thinking, can you imagine a man up in a plane about, say, 15,000 feet, and he jumps out. He pulls his ripcord and nothing happens. Can't you imagine him, Hail Mary, Mother Grace, full of everything? Can't you imagine that? Oh, man. He'll say, oh, God! Amen! Right?
Amen.
That's what he'll say. Yeah, he'll call on God.
Right.
And there's going to come a time when people's going to call on God. See, that's what the Bible's saying. There's going to come a time, the Bible's saying, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess, you see.
Amen.
So it looks like here in verse 43 that's somebody just getting stomped till they just become nothing. Amen? You see, folks, that's one thing the matter with the people. People don't seem to think there's going to be judgment.
Right.
I visit that jail all the time. I tell them, I say, look, you fellas are here because of something you've done.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to settle up. You got to pay for what you've done. Don't you understand that? I mean, you ought to. You're in jail. Well, don't you know if man is that precise in His law that God is more so?
Right.
Yeah. I look at verse 44. Thou also hast delivered me from the striving of my people. Talking about the Jews. Thou hast kept me to be head of the heathen. Talking about the Gentiles. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Talking about the Gentiles. Verse 45. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The second advent. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. The millennial reign of Christ. Verse 46. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of those close places. You see? It's just like it is today. It's saying the ones that don't want me are the ones that are hiding. You see? And isn't that like people today? Huh? You'll knock on somebody's door and say, like, invite you to church. Well, I don't have time to go to church. You know what it is? They don't want the Lord and they're hiding. See? People don't know the Lord, they hide. And that's what the verse is saying there, see? Strangers shall fade away. You won't find them. And they shall be afraid out of their closed places. You see? People, they got the wrong kind of fear. And I believe in fear in God, but you ought to love God. Amen? So I say, you can't love and fear at the same time. Sure you can. You ever raise the children? You can love them and teach them to fear. You better teach them to fear. Amen? I mean, I fear God in some sense. There's a lot of things I don't do because I'm afraid. I'm not afraid I'm going to hell.
Amen?
But the world today has no fear of God, so they hide from God, you see? I mean, you ever go down to some of these liberals and cults and just tell them what the Bible says? That's all you got. Just read what the Bible says. You'll find out how much they don't want it and how they're afraid of it. We was in a man's house one night, and he began to ask questions. Every time he asked a question, my brother there, he'd open the Bible. And finally, he just put his hand on top of it. I said, don't go on that no more. Don't that. Just answer the question. See? He didn't want that Bible opened. See? All right, notice verse 47. The Lord liveth. Amen. Lives forever. Amen. The Lord liveth. and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. Amen. Verse 48, it is God, huh? It is God that avengeth me and bringeth down the people unto me. Huh?
Amen.
It's God. You know, in other words, God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.
Amen.
You see? Now, here, folks, listen. Here's the thing about it. We know, I know all this. You know it all. Well, you better make sure you're on the right side.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, when they dropped that atomic bomb over Hiroshima in 1944, I'm glad I wasn't there. I was on the right side, amen? And when the Lord bring vengeance, you better make sure you're on the right side. You see that? Now, you know, you taught this, and I said, yeah, but, you know, you're in the Old Testament, and that Old Testament is old, and it's crude, and all this stuff, you know. Well, let's see. Let's look at something in the New Testament, okay, since we're saved by Bible. We believe the New Testament, too. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians. We'll read something in the New Testament. You know, make something sweet. Now, we'll get away from that rough stuff for a minute. We'll read something sweet over here in the New Testament. Okay? I mean, that's what people think, you know. They think like that. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, page 1271. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. I begin at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1, 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense, payback, tribulation to them that trouble you. Okay? And to you who are troubled, somebody giving you trouble? Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Alright? Coming back to love everybody and show everybody about his great love. Amen? Ain't what it says? It don't say that? Let's see what it says. Okay? And flaming fire. Huh? Taking vengeance on them that know not God. Huh? The agnostics. Alright? On them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They refuse God's invitation of salvation this age. Amen? Same thing we read in Isaiah 63. Huh? New Testament, see? You can't get away from it. Huh? Alright? Verse 48. It is God that avengeth me and that bringeth down the people unto me. Verse 49. And that bringeth me forth from mine enemies, thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. You see that? The violent man, the Antichrist. And of course, doctrine is talking about the Jewish remnant in the tribulation. All right, verse 50. Verse 50. Therefore, and you don't know what therefore, I'll tell you when you find the word therefore, you want to know what it's there for, amen? All right? Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Huh? What's he thanking God for? He just said he's going to bring vengeance and he's thanking God. Huh? You mean tell me what to thank God because God is going to bring vengeance on somebody? Well, sure. I thank God every day I'm saved. Amen? I wouldn't dare go to bed and not thank God for saving me.
Amen?
Wouldn't it be something you died in your sleep and you said, for the Lord, and it was nice to know the last thing you thought about was the Lord? Amen? I'd hate to die and go to sleep thinking about some of these fornicating soap operas. Amen? I'd hate to die that way. I ain't going to either. Therefore, I will give thanks. Amen? That's one of the first steps of apostate in Romans chapter 1. The first thing. Huh? When they knew God, they were unthankful. Paul said this, and also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, unthankful, unholy. See? Unthankful, unholy. They'll do it, they don't care what the Bible says. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, the enemies, the heathen nations without God, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Let the world praise their heroes. We'll praise our God. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, we'll praise the God that saved us from now on. Brother, that's what you're going to do in heaven. We're going to praise God when we get to heaven. We might as well get started now. Amen?
Amen.
I'll sing praise of thy name. He. Huh? God. He is the tower of salvation.
Amen.
Huh? Now look at this. Now this is where you come in. You watch this verse now. He is the tower of salvation for his king and showeth mercy to his anointed. Anointed. Khrushchev. Anointed. Alright? Unto David. See? David was anointed by God. It's the seed of David that's anointed Christ. And then it says, and to his seed, that's us.
Amen.
For how long?
Evermore.
Huh? Evermore. You see what I'm saying is, God extends everlasting mercy to anybody that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
God offers that to anybody. Hmm?
Amen.
And they turn him down. And that's what's the matter. You know, that's what's I was over in the jail last night and I was talking to they had two girls up front, one of them been in there before. And she told me about going over here to church. She said, when I went to church, I quit drinking and quit all my meals, but as soon as I quit church I started drinking and running around, all this other kind of stuff, see? I said, well, you need to get saved. And she said, I don't know what to do. I said, man, son, if you died right now, where'd you go? She said, I'd go to hell. I said, see, you're lost. Okay? And the trouble is with them, it's just like people don't trust the Lord to save them. Sure, they believe in Jesus Christ. Sure, they believe he died on the cross. But that's not what they're trusting. See? And I commenced to tell these two women about this, you know, how the Lord saved me and so forth. And they said, yeah, but if I go out here and I do this, then I'm not saved. I said, look here, women or woman. I said, I've been saved 30, almost going on 35 years now, I reckon. But I said, if I quit tomorrow, if I take this Bible now and I throw it down, I never pick it up again, I never preach again, I never go back to church again, you think I'd go to heaven? They says, no. That's what's the matter with them, see?
Amen.
That's what's the matter with them. They don't trust the Lord.
Amen.
See? I said, sure I would.
Amen. That's right.
Sure I would. Because my salvation is the fact of what Christ did, not what I'm ever going to do.
Amen.
See?
That's right.
And that's where people get lost, where people can't get it straight. See? That's why there's so many lost church people. And that's why you see people that are in church, leave church, and go out here and go back in the sin, go back in the world. Their life goes back to the sewer because they're not trusting Jesus Christ to save them.
Amen.
They say, sure, I believe Christ died on the cross. Sure, I believe in Jesus. But you know what? Day down deep, you know what they're depending on? Somehow or another, they're going to hang in there and make it. And they ain't going to do it. And you ain't going to do it. And I ain't going to do it. And I ain't depending on nothing I live. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I might lose my mind tomorrow. If I lose my mind, I'll go out here and get stupid drunk and kill somebody. That's all right. You say, I'll still be there. Amen?
Amen.
Because that ain't depending on what I'm doing. Now, a lot of folks, you don't understand that, see? A lot of folks, ain't no way they could accept that. You see? But the fact is, Christ died for our sins. And apart from that, ain't nobody saved, ain't nobody going to get saved.
Amen.
It ain't got one thing in the world. Now, I'll admit, I'm glad I'm saved. I enjoy every day of it.
Amen.
I do a lot of flame of color and saved. I don't do a lot of flame of color and saved. But that don't have nothing to do with being saved or staying saved, you see?
Yeah.
I told this one fella over there, I said, you got on a prison uniform, right? He said, yeah. I said, if you took that uniform off, would you still be a prisoner? I said, do you wear that uniform because you're a prisoner? Or because you're a prisoner, you're wearing the uniform? And he began to understand then, see? I'll take the uniform off. You still...